Hey there. You want to know a secret? You can watch the whole Aleister Crowley episode of DFF simply by becoming a patron. It's $5 a month or $10 a month if you just feel like paying us more. I guess you get more too. But for you plebs, for you free people, all you get's this preview. Enjoy your table scraps. Welcome to yet another edition of Deep Fat Fry, the greatest podcast in all of existence. I am joined by my usual cohorts, Paul and Scotty. Look at Paul. He's so excited to be here, dude. Look at him.
I'm sick, dude. Got a sinus infection.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I know what you're sick of, Paul. You're sick of doing this show, aren't you?
Sick of your bullshit, TJ.
You're sick of my bullshit?
Uh-huh. Sick of your bullshit.
I see, Paul. You know what?
I'm on top of you guys both. I'm sick of both of your fucking guys' bullshit.
Fair enough.
Scotty, I'm not quite sick of your bullshit yet.
Really? I'm most surprised to hear that.
Not quite, Scotty.
I'll be honest, TJ. I've been pretty mean to you. I've been downright nasty to you, TJ. Really? You're not
I'm a little bit of a psychological masochist. All right,
well, fair enough. I mean, if you have your little thing going on.
I'm like, you know what? Scotty's kind of keeping me in line, man. Yeah, it's good that he done that, tore my ego down a little bit. I'm overinflated anyway.
Me, you're completely sick of my bullshit.
I'm sick of your bullshit, yeah, Paul. Yeah.
Well, he has Paul's ego.
Paul, man. I'm going to tell you, I decided not to do it, so I'll just go ahead and tell you.
Okay.
But I was very seriously considering dressing up as you for Halloween.
You should do it.
I was going to go around the party and just like mope and complain.
No, you can't do it now.
That's the greatest fucking...
You already tipped your hand, dude.
Yeah, I decided not to do it.
Why not?
Well,
God.
Because I didn't want to be in the miserable psyche of Paul for that long. You know?
Okay, well.
It would have been perfect because I'm coming as 2011 TJ, dude.
That should be cool. He's fun to hang out with.
Yeah, 2011
TJ. Hey, didn't 2011 TJ shave his head, though?
Yeah.
Oh,
and he
shit.
Didn't have a beard either.
I don't have a beard right now.
I'll be like idealized 2011 TJ.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, why did you go full white guilt TJ? Was it just time?
Yeah, well, at the beginning of winter, I decided, I'll probably just grow my beard back out, but I figured I've got to even everything out first, so I just got rid of the goatee, and I'm just going to let it grow out from here.
Oh, well.
So.
That is actually a reasonable thing you did.
Paul doesn't like it. You know what? By the end of the winter, I'll have a more majestic and luxuriant beard than Paul, but then I'll shave it again,
because
I don't even care.
If you honestly want to one-up Paul, I'll tell you one of the few ways you can do it. Just grow a longer beard than him, dude.
Yeah,
he's got a pretty good head start there.
I mean, yeah, but you know what? He trims it occasionally. You just got to go bald.
Never trim it.
Dude, imagine if ZZ Top walked in this room. Paul would have to be like, I ain't got
TJ
nothing on you.
He doesn't have the discipline, dude, because you can't just have a beard. You have to take care of the beard. You have to fucking wash the beard right. You got to oil the beard.
If the hair that came out of my face was the same as the hair that comes out of my head, I'd be like, whatever.
TJ, you gotta have a beard routine. So here's my beard routine, TJ.
The hair that comes on my face is way more coarse and itchy and horrible.
It is.
So.
But here's your problem.
Yeah.
First, beard wash. Number one, so
wash
your beard.
I've done all that shit. Like this
beard conditioner.
You cannot moisturize this.
Yeah. Yes, you can. Beard conditioner goes in after, TJ. Then a beard oil, TJ.
I had all that.
Then you're not doing right.
Okay.
You're incompetent.
Error. TJ has
error.
Made yet another error, dude. That's what I want my AI overlord to be.
Yeah.
Like, just like a little drone that follows you around and says, error, you have made yet another error, TJ. You misused this word.
Try to buy some Oreos or something. It's like, error, you are too fat to purchase this product.
Yes.
Error.
It's just the AI version of Scotty, basically. Error, you are too fat, TJ. Engage in physical activity. That was pathetic. Error.
Error.
Just fucking your bed just throws you out at some point. Error. You have slept enough.
Yep.
Time to
wake up.
You have had the prerequisite 8 hours of rest.
Oh, you know the one that's really going to get you is like the late night TV session. Error. You are up too late.
Error. Research has shown that this much television is bad for your development.
Yep. It's
like,
over
I'm
for
done
you.
Developing. I'm 30. God,
but I gotta see what happens.
Go
next
to
episode.
Sleep. Go to sleep or receive the shocks. Just kidding. We know you like the shocks. We will force you to eat broccoli.
Yeah, dude. It's raw cauliflower for 2 days every time you make an error.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. The fucking AI is going to
whip
you
right into shape, boy.
Yeah.
No more excuses, dude. The best personal trainer ever.
I think they should give you the option of like skinning it as like a dominatrix or something, you know? That'd be cool.
Maybe. I don't want it to be pleasurable in any way, though. It has to remain annoying. Yeah. Because nobody will listen to it otherwise.
I don't know. Sometimes you get more with the carrot than with the stick, Paul.
No, nah, dude.
History shows the stick wins. Come on. You know, you carrot, know that's
look,
true.
The carrot can work, TJ. But oftentimes, you have to have that stick behind it, too.
Yeah, I mean, you need the carrot and the stick.
Every time.
Hey, not always.
I don't think you always need the carrot. Look, I think, dude, sometimes you just need the stick.
How do you explain bonobos, Paul?
Bonobos. Yeah, you
I
can,
don't.
You can go the like, I don't. You can go the bonobo route or you can go the chimp route.
Hey, we know which route we took.
We, yeah.
Yeah, I feel I know like, who we're descended from directly.
I feel like humanity has a little...
We have a little bit of bonobo and a little bit of chimp. Is that what you're trying to say?
I think it's like...
Well, what a brave centrist position you've taken, TJ.
I think it's like 60-40, though.
I think we're all chimp. I think we're 100% chimp. I don't see where you're getting any of this bonobo-ish nonsense from. There's nothing peaceful or harmonious about us.
We're actually better at cooperation.
I always love that episode of Star Trek where they like everyone's just reverting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Picard just becomes like a paranoid fucking chimp basically. He's like, oh, I can't trust you.
Dude, I forgot about that episode. I want to watch that episode now.
That's a great episode,
it's
dude.
It's really not a great episode. Yes, it's a pretty
what
awful episode.
What the fuck are you talking? No. Oh, bullshit, dude.
The only... I mean, I'll
you
admit.
Do you want to talk about?
No, no, it's a cool episode.
You want to talk about our debate?
But it's not
episode?
A good episode.
You want to talk about the debate thing we're talking about doing, TJ? That's number one right
Error.
There.
Error. TJ's opinion is incorrect.
You are so fucking wrong, dude. You see everyone get like to their primordial like ooze phase
Scotty.
And shit, dude.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, Scotty, I have a pitch for your character moving forward. I think you should just adopt this Error personality and just like you should come here dressed as a robot and just speak in robot.
Oh, like the two retards that for
bleep.
Yeah.
Bleep. Error.
We won't do a movie reviews like this. This movie sucked balls.
Yeah, but you're just the Error robot.
Error.
Error.
Error. Bad movie. Error. Bad scene. Error.
I like it, dude.
Error.
What's your new character going to be, TJ?
How about a fat, worthless buffoon? Oh, wait. That's already his current character.
I said
so
new character.
Funny. So funny.
My apologies.
I want TJ to be the aristocratic, upper crusty Brit.
He could do it.
Yeah.
Dude, TJ invented this character when we were kids, where he was like a rich snob, and he was pretty much perfect at it, dude.
Yeah.
What was the catchphrase of that character?
I was like, how many horses?
Oh, yeah, it was like,
where do you keep?
You only have two cars?
No, it was you only have one house, but where do you keep all your horses? That's what you would say. It was just the funniest shit, dude.
What the fuck, dude?
So TJ could play a total snob, and I can totally see he's got the right look. He's blonde. He's like a taller dude. And he's country club TJ, dude.
Chester Winslington.
Chester Winslington.
Winslington.
I like it.
Good day to you.
All right. Well, what are we here to talk about today, Scotty?
Great segue, TJ.
Yeah,
fucking,
it's great.
Why don't you play it, TJ?
Just play it.
Play it, and then we'll know.
Whoa. There you go.
Alistair.
We're talking about
fucking
motherfucking
Crowley.
Yeah.
So well. I want, before I even got into the information, because you guys, look, TJ, you don't have a lot of information in your brain. We know that for a fact. I mean,
my brain's stupid.
You're an empty-headed, slack-jawed, vacant-eyed motherfucker. So what do you, TJ, know about Alistair Crowley? Probably nothing, but I have to ask.
So like, back in the fucking 1729s.
All right, I'll accept it.
There were like a bunch of like dark voodoo wizards and such, and he was like the most voodooed of them all, and he'd done all kinds of magics and had all kinds of like spells, incantations, and potions and whatnots, and he'd dance naked under the moon and waggle his dick around and stuff.
Well, some of that information does sound correct, but some of the dates and time frames for that does not sound correct.
No, he was like an occultist.
call a spade a spade, TJ.
Yeah.
He was a Satanist.
He
was a Satanist, TJ.
Satan was a little bit too plebeian and mundane for him.
Well, that was a perspective of a lot of people
try and,
of him.
Don't try and intellectualize what you know to be true. He worshipped the Dark Lord.
Right.
Let's call a spade a spade.
I mean, I know he did, like, sex magic. Like,
uh-huh.
He'd have gay sex.
Like
stuff,
a Satanist?
Yeah.
Satanist, right?
Right.
To like summon
blood magic, right?
Spirits. He communed with an Egyptian god. I forget the name.
Yeah, we will go.
I think it was Amun Ra. Maybe.
Are you sure it wasn't Satan?
Was it Set? It was Amun Ra, something like that.
No.
And he wrote the Book of the Law.
Yes.
Supposedly correct. Dictated mm-hmm. to him by this Egyptian deity.
That's uh-huh. correct.
And
yep.
It was kind of his signature work. And
correct.
You know, he scammed a bunch of people into believing his
hey,
bullshit.
Scammed.
Okay. Well, maybe he was legit. I don't know. Maybe he was really getting orders from Egyptian.
Yeah, an
deities.
Egyptian deities. Paul, but, what about you?
Basically, kind of the same stuff that Redneck TJ said earlier, that he was into kind of like sex magic, and he had like a little cult of people what followed him around, and he wrote the book, and
yeah. So you guys know, like, I think is pretty much the basic version. If anyone knows anything about Aleister Crowley or occultism, you know, in that time period, that's basically what most people know.
Yeah.
So I would say that's pretty accurate, but.
Didn't he,
there's actually a lot more to Aleister Crowley than I suspected. Let me
I
say
do
that.
Know, I do know that he was that he was he spelled magic with a K.
Yes,
magic.
Yeah.
Magic.
So let's get into it,
oh,
TJ.
I can tell you another fact about him too. He was a member of the Golden Dawn Society.
Yes.
But they kicked him out because he was too fucking nuts.
There's actually a bigger story to that than that.
Okay,
so.
Cool.
Yeah, so let's just get into it, TJ, because obviously I've done the research. I have the skills to pay the bills. You don't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
I don't know fucking shit.
So Aleister Crowley, his original name was Edward Alexander Crowley, born October 12th, 1875, in Royal Leamington Spa, England, was a British occultist, a writer, TJ, and mountaineer.
Jesus.
Who was a practitioner of magic.
With a K at the end.
And called himself the Beast. 666. The number of the beast. He was denounced in his own time for his decadent lifestyle and had few followers. But he became a cult figure after his death. Always inconvenient.
That always sucks, doesn't
yeah.
it? Like, your scam doesn't even work until you're dead.
Then it works perfectly.
Yeah, I guess it's because at the point when you're dead, they can mythologize you and make you whatever they want.
Well, it's like how Van Gogh's fucking works didn't. He sold one work in his lifetime, and now his works sell for over $100 billion.
Yeah.
So go figure that.
People in his time had no fucking taste, man.
So Crowley claimed that his family was of Celtic origins on his father's side, claiming a familial link to the Breton family of Quirole.
That's a
Quirole.
It's very difficult to pronounce. Of course, this thereby linking his family to the nobility of the region. Of course, like many claims made by Crowley, little evidence was ever offered up. You know, and I think it's important to establish here.
Crowley was ahead of the curve, man. He realized before most of us did that reality is just a choose-your-own-adventure book. You're not
yes.
stuck. You're not stuck with your fucking actual history. You're stuck with whatever you could fucking make up. You're not stuck with your fucking shitty. I'm Edward Alexander Crowley. It's like, Crowley sounds cool, but my first name is Alistair, thank you. So
I, as I wrote here, it says, it's important to understand at the beginning of this episode that this is kind of the essence of Aleister Crowley. He was someone who came to define, like, the esoteric. You know, he was a sexually liberated libertine in the age of British Victorians. He was whatever he needed to be, and he always played his part to perfection. So, like basically you said, like, he was a myth builder. He kind of realized that, like you said.
Like many of the people we've covered on this show, a ruthlessly self-promoting kind of person.
Oh, well, here's a perfect example. In his work Confessions, Crowley writes, "It has been remarked a strange coincidence that one small country should give England her two greatest poets, for one must not forget Shakespeare." So obviously referring to himself and Shakespeare as the two greatest poets ever.
Yes.
So of course...
Yes.
It's only natural to put yourself in the company of one of history's greatest writers.
So he was like a Kanye of the time.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Not, I mean, like, obviously, it's that he had a small following, but, I mean, like, in terms of, like, that's like some Kanye-level shit right there, when you're just like, yes, me, Shakespeare, you know.
Two peas in a pod.
Basically the same.
What a strange coincidence that we'd both be, you know, we'd both be born in this small little country of England. But that was the mentality that Crowley brought to his works, outlandish claims, but ultimately coupled with a deep sense of inferiority and insecurity, perhaps sprinkled with a touch of arrogance and smug superiority. It should also be noted that he claimed Shakespeare was born in 1550, not his actual birth year of 1564.
Ow, whatever.
Further demonstrating how this is more about putting himself up there with one of the greats than rather really being factually accurate, you know. So it was more just like he didn't even bother to know the year Shakespeare was born.
Because who gives a shit about Shakespeare?
It was ultimately more important to have the comparison.
He just hears people mentioning Shakespeare, and he's like, they like Shakespeare. I'm like Shakespeare. Basically Shakespeare.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was like when I was watching Jay-Z or some shit give an interview on fucking Bill Maher's show before I stopped watching that shit.
Real Time?
Yeah. You know, he's like a Klobuchar shell now. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
That's disturbing. But anyway.
Totally fucked up. Anyway, Jay-Z was on that show, and he's like, I'm like the new Picasso, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what the fuck do you even know about Picasso, Jay-Z? You son of a bitch. You ain't shit like goddamn Picasso, you motherfucker.
Dude, he's the new Picasso.
He's got the money to own a Picasso.
That's about it. Give him that. He's got the money to own several.
So his father, Edward Crowley, born 1829, died 1887, was trained as an engineer. But his share in a lucrative family brewing business, Crowley's Elton Ales, allowed him to retire before his son was even born. So they came from some money. His mother, Emily Bertha Bishop, came from Devonshire, Somerset family and had a strained relationship with her son.
I hate when we have to talk about England.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm going to be eviscerated for how I mispronounced everything. She described him as the beast.
Did you hear how he said Devonshire?
It's pronounced Scroodlehump.
Scroodlehump. I'm sorry, Scroodlehump in Somerset family. A name that he reveled in. So his mom was actually the one who described him as the beast, but he loved it.
Cool.
You know, instead of being taken aback by why is my mom calling me a beast, like, yeah, I am a fucking beast.
Awesome.
The couple had been married in London's Kensington Registry Office in November 1874 and were evangelical Christians. Crowley's father had been
born... As if there was even a choice at that point, though.
Had been born a Quaker, but had converted to Exclusive Brethren, a faction of Christian fundamentalist group known as the Plymouth Brethren.
The Plymouth Brethren.
With Emily joining upon marriage. Obviously, you get married, you have to join. Crowley's father was particularly devout, spending his time as a traveling preacher for the sect and reading a chapter from the Bible to his wife and son after breakfast every day.
So...
a true believer.
Lots of Bible.
Oh, yeah, having the Bible shoved down his throat. Following the death of their baby daughter in 1880, in 1881, the Crowleys moved to Redhill in Surrey. At the age of 8, Crowley was sent to H.T. Harbershun's Evangelical Christian Boarding School in Hastings, and then to Ebor Preparatory School in Cambridge.
Cambridge!
So, very, obviously, going with the upper crust of society, going to a very prominent school. It's run by the Reverend Henry the Odyssey Champagne. I probably butcher that.
I think it's Champney.
Champney, yeah, Champney, whom Crowley considered a sadist. So, obviously, I guess he was like to whip the boys at the school, which is common practice for boarding schools.
A good funny whacking, you know, is what they need.
I can't believe that fucking subjecting someone to constant religious dogma and beating the shit out of them produces...
A rap on the knuckles will straighten that boy right up.
And then he grew up to be Aleister Crowley, so maybe it ain't working. I don't know.
So, yeah, well, it certainly didn't. The younger Crowley, however, formed an aversion to Christianity early in
Shockingly.
Life.
Can't believe it.
As a student in Trinity College, University of Cambridge, he began to use the name Alistair and gained a reputation for his skill at chess. In 1898, he left the university without taking a degree. His own inheritance left him freely to travel widely and to arrange for the publication of his writings. His first book of poetry appeared in 1898, and numerous books followed. So this is when this is basically after university. He's like, fuck this shit. I ain't doing the Christian thing. I'm going full-time into occultism.
So he's a rich kid.
Yeah,
but he's in a fucking strict religious household, and he's being subject to, like, indoctrination and corporal punishment and all this shit, and he rebels against it by, you know, basically starting to become
He does the typical rich kid thing. He has all this money, so he's like, I can travel the fucking world, I'm gonna go see the fucking world, and I'm gonna fucking make sure my shit gets published, because I have the fucking funds to publish them.
Fucking.
I can just pay for my works.
Why are you so overly laden with profanity, Scott?
Because I love profanity, TJ.
Well, I think that's fucked up.
Well, you should.
What is that? What's that all about? Why are you being a Puritan now, TJ?
Because, Paul. You're a fucking idiot, dude.
Maybe he was a...
You're a piece of shit, Paul.
Maybe it's the influence of the spirit.
Don't use any fucking
Alistair
profanity
Crowley's
in my fucking presence,
Crowley's
Paul.
Parents, Paul.
A crack on the rump is what you need.
Oh, okay.
Straighten you right out, sir.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
That's what TJ did need in life.
A crack. Crack, sir.
So like,
right on the rump.
So like many other religious skeptics of the 19th century, Crowley became interested in occultism. In 1898, he joined the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn.
Ooh.
An organization derived from the Rosicrucians. One of Crowley's rivals within the London Golden Dawn group was the poet William Butler Yeats, and we will get to that later on in the episode. About that, they actually had a magic battle.
Cool.
There's a wizard's duel?
There is a magic battle in this episode.
Shit.
So just very briefly, I want to go over the definition of occultism. Occult theory of practice, belief in or study of the action or influence of supernatural or supernormal powers. Rosicrucians were members of a worldwide brotherhood.
I think it's Rosicrucian.
Rosicrucian?
That's what it looks like.
Well.
You're fucking butchering this, Scotty.
I'm sorry.
You're
butchering it. Some of these fucking words, dude. Rosicrucian?
You need
think?
Fucking perfect elocution like me, Scotty.
So what do you say? Rosicrucian?
I think it's Rosicrucian.
Rosicrucian?
Yeah. Hold on. Here's a fucking pronunciation
guide.
Let's hear
it. I thought it was Rosicrucian.
Play, motherfucker.
Rosicrucian.
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 Rosicrucian, a member of a worldwide brotherhood claiming to possess esoteric wisdom handed down from ancient times, DJ.
Cool.
Because, of course, knowledge just can't be, there can't be new and spontaneous knowledge. It's always
some
from
people
ancient.
Don't like new knowledge. They're like, I'm skeptical of that.
That's why a lot of people
but
like
you
the
tell
Bible.
People, like, it's ancient knowledge.
Dude,
like, ooh,
you gotta think,
ancient
though,
knowledge.
It was
ooh.
A lot easier to convince people of stuff like this back in the day.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Because there was no Google. You couldn't go to, like, you know, Snopes and see if anybody had ancient knowledge from on high. You know what I mean?
Right. So
you just claim it.
Whatever you wanted to make up, you could just, yeah.
I know some ancient Egyptian shit that nobody else knows.
Yeah, I found this ancient fucking tome. It's basically like the whole...
The Pinky of Christ, dude.
Yeah, the Pinky of Christ. It would have worked a lot better back then, for sure.
Fuck yeah, it would have.